Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the week in professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, it's not been what I would call a huge newsworthy week in the world of professional wrestling, unlike some other genres here in the United States. But we do have a few things to talk about. And one of the main ones that really I think is going to end up being very controversial is Miro, who of course is the former Rusev in WWE, claiming he was fired from the WWE for what would technically be an illegal reason. Now, what Miro has recently said is that when the COVID pandemic struck, he was somewhat concerned about what he felt was the lax attitude of the WWE in dealing with it. And he felt that perhaps it was creating an unsafe work environment. He said that he had spoke to a few other wrestlers. He said maybe 7, 8, 10 wrestlers. And they were preparing to take some of their grievances to Vince McMahon and to talk to him about it, saying we have our concerns. And that it got back to Vince McMahon before they had the opportunity to do so. And Vince McMahon fired him. Now, should that be the case? And I'm not saying it is, but should that be the case, that is wrongful termination. You cannot fire someone for airing a grievance that, in their opinion, is creating an unsafe work environment. In other words, if you said, look, I work in a factory and there are some safety concerns here because some of the safety measures are not being followed, you can't be fired for that. I mean, I guess you could be, but it's illegal. And then there's obviously action, legal action you can take. Likewise, you can't fire someone for saying, I have concerns about this COVID-19 pandemic and how we are addressing it here in the WWE and if we're safe. However, let's talk about this a little bit. Because this is the same Miro who was offered a contract and said no. I'm holding out. I'm holding out for more money because I think that I can play AEW off of WWE, much like some other people did. Randy Orton would be one. I think AJ Styles did a little of that. And Miro felt, well, you know what? I'll play AEW off of WWE. I'll get a fatter contract. It didn't happen. That did not happen. So then he goes on to say, this angle that we were doing with Lana, I was approached and told this is where it's going, or this is what it's going to be. And the question I asked before I agreed to do it is, where is it going? What's the payoff? And I was told, now he hasn't said who told him, I was told the payoff is one of the non-title feature matches of WrestleMania. So he said, well, if I can get one of the non-title feature matches of WrestleMania, I'm not turning it down. So I agreed to it, and they lied to me, and they did absolutely nothing with it. It was actually a way to try to negotiate my contract by making me look foolish until I signed. So I'm not sure who to believe here, but let's get all of our ducks in a row, and even if it's unpopular, and I know it is, 8 out of the 10 correspondences I receive from you guys are telling me Vince McMahon is an evil, monstrous, horrible, terrible human being and nobody should ever, ever, never, ever work for him. I get it. But let's talk a little bit about this, shall we? What is it exactly that you would like the WWE to do, Miro? If it weren't for Vince McMahon and his connections, admittedly, there wouldn't even be professional wrestling. Professional wrestling, I don't care what anyone says, in anyone's planet, is not an essential business. And for Vince McMahon to get the WWE and all wrestling by proxy deemed an essential business, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I'll tell you what would have happened. In March, wrestling would have shut down. There would have been no wrestling at all until probably August, when things start opening up a little bit. Now, in the meantime, all these wrestlers would have said, yeah, I'm going to the beach and hang out, or I'm just going to shelter up in my house and pretend I'm the boy bubble. But I want my fat paycheck to be there, and it better be the exact same amount. How in anybody's world is that fair? It's not. It's not fair. So the WWE pulls strings in order for you to do what you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. And I understand that you want to be safe and you don't want to contract the virus. At the same time, I understand that every time you go in the ring and you pull off a move, this could be a move that cripples you and you're done. Okay, look at draws. Look what happened to draws. Look what happened to, I forget the guy's name, who was fighting Rey Mysterio and died. And you don't say, well, it needs to be safer. You don't say that. At some point, there's got to be some acceptable risk in what you do. And if you're a fireman, you understand there's an acceptable risk. You don't say, well, I know there's people burning to death in the building, but hey, man, I'm not going up there. It might be me. I might end up burning up. Or if you're a police officer, you don't say, well, I know there's gunfire there, but I ain't going anywhere near it. I mean, after all, I got a family. So if you're a professional wrestler, there's some acceptable risk. And if you really don't want to take any risk at all, none, zero, then I don't think Vince McMahon forced you to come. I think the edict was for those people who feel comfortable wrestling, come, and you can wrestle. That's why Angel Garza and Andrade were wrestling five times on Raw. I'll tell you where it got them. Nowhere. Did they get rewarded for it? No, but that's a whole nother story. There were plenty of people who didn't show, Miro. So I don't think you were forced to be there. If you chose to be there, you can take some safety precautions yourself. You can sit in your car until it's time for your match. You don't have to hang out with the boys. You don't have to be backstage if there's people who aren't practicing social distancing or wearing a mask. I don't really see what the point is of not hanging out with somebody or wearing a mask when in 20 minutes you're going to be fighting them nose to nose. But whatever. Now, the WWE, from all I know, tested people as far as their temperatures upon entering the building. And if your temperature was above a certain whatever, you were told to go home. So I'm not sure what you could do to make it safer. At some point, it's like a policeman coming to work and say, Sergeant, can you guarantee me that I'm coming home tonight? And the sergeant's going to say, well, no, of course I can't guarantee that. I can't guarantee you're going to make it home from McDonald's if you're, working there, let alone being a police officer. Oh, well, then never mind. This is an unsafe work environment. I think to a certain extent, wrestlers are becoming spoiled. And they're expecting a top pay. They're expecting all the perks of the business and putting nothing really into it. See, I admired professional wrestlers because they were willing to sacrifice some safety and their body long term to put on a performance that a lot of people either wouldn't or couldn't put on. That was my initial thought. When I was a kid, I watched pro wrestling. I thought it was real, so that's different. But when I found out that it was predetermined, my initial thought was, these are guys who are willing to put their bodies on the line, risk a lot, to put on a performance for us, to entertain us. And that's something that's admirable. But if you're going to take all that away and you're going to say, well, I want all these moves banned, and then I want to be guaranteed this, and I want to be guaranteed that, and, well, I don't know what to tell you then. Then you probably shouldn't be a pro wrestler. So was Miro fired because he was organizing a little group to go to talk to Vince McMahon about some COVID-19 possible safety precautions? I don't know. But I do know this. You're not going to be able to prove that. Because if you ever took that to court, the very first thing the WWE's lawyers are going to say is, well, wait a minute, this is a guy who we offered a contract and he held out. So how in the world do you think we fired him wrongfully when we offered him a contract and he said no? See, it doesn't work this way. Offer me a contract. Here it is. I don't like that contract. Offer me another one. No, I'm sorry. That's all we can do. Okay, then you fired me wrongfully. No, you refused the terms. You refuse the terms, then maybe that's all you're worth to them. I mean, at some point, you have to take responsibility for your own actions, Mike. And I think Miro here, to be honest, is a little bit of sour grapes because I think he realizes he is not going to achieve the same sort of popularity in AEW.
Right, but I think it's a little bit of a complicated thing because, Vince McMahon is the devil thing. It's kind of a play that they've been doing with the Funhouse, you know. But that's neither here nor there. And what he's saying is true. You know, we flat out said about that whole angle with her, him and Lana, and you know that it was going nowhere. So it's kind of complicated. Yeah, that's one part of it, right? But you got to look at all the angles. And yeah, if he, what does he want to do? I mean, what did Ric Flair say about it? You know, Ric Flair goes, "This is the safest place. I'm 70 years old. The performance center is the safest place for me, and I'm going to work."
Yeah, you're going to find it very hard to get me to believe that the WWE fired him because they knew he had some grievances. Why didn't they fire the other 9 guys? I'm sure some of them 9 guys weren't essential top guys. Otherwise, why would Miro be their leader? You know, if Roman Reigns was in the locker room saying it or Seth Rollins, then Miro's not going to be leading the pack. It would have been them, right? So I find this very hard to believe. And what I'm starting to believe here very strongly is that there's a lot of sour grapes and there's a lot of second guessing when it comes to how popular will I be. I warned all the WWE wrestlers about this when everyone said, let's go to AEW, which we're going to get to in a minute. Let's go to AEW. They'll treat us better. We'll be more appreciated. The fans will love us better. And I said, well, you might be more appreciated and you may even be better compensated, but don't think you're going to be more popular. Because the WWE machine has a way of making people really, really, really popular, like household name popular. And AEW has not reached that level yet, and they may never reach that level. It's the same way with like NXT. There are a lot of NXT stars down there. They're not household names. Go ask somebody who Tommaso Ciampa is. Unless they're a really pretty good, you know, pretty ardent wrestling fan, they're not going to know. Go ask somebody who, name it, Velveteen Dream is. And unless you're a wrestling fan, you're going to be like, I don't know, it's a cartoon character or whatever. Go ask somebody who Hulk Hogan is. Go ask somebody who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. Go ask somebody who The Rock is. Go ask somebody even who Triple H is. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. The Undertaker. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. It doesn't make any difference if they ever watched a professional wrestling match in their life. Because the WWE machine has that ability. The AEW machine does not have that ability. Not yet. And again, I don't know if they're ever going to. So we'll see what happens here with this situation. Miro isn't saying he's filing a lawsuit or anything. He's just saying this was the reason I was dismissed. I'm very skeptical. Now on to AEW, because, of course, they're having their Full Gear pay-per-view tomorrow, and so they had their go-home show. They once again beat out NXT in the ratings. However, they were down. Ratings were down in the 700,000s. Or low 800s. It was down from last week. NXT was down even more. And of course, we can attribute some of this to the complete and utter humiliating disaster that is our presidential election. But at the same time, some people wanted to get away from that nonsense and say, let me go escape. And less people, by like 80,000 people in AEW and over 100,000 people in NXT, did not do that. Now, NXT, Triple H, had apparently given the order to do nothing significant because he already knew that the election would probably take away some viewers. AEW had no choice because this is their go-home show, literally, so they had to put on their show. And while it was a good show overall, I think this is going to be their weakest pay-per-view in terms of fan interest. Because you can't have a match where you're saying it becomes the number one contender for a title and then you think Eddie Kingston's winning the title. Of course he's not. Of course he's not. And I just think that there's some matchups here that weren't properly built up. Now, agreeing with me is the Revival, who say our match with the Young Bucks was a disaster as far as being built up. Now, this is the match, by the way, that they were teasing when they were in the WWE. Oh, you want this match to happen, folks? Come on, you want this match to happen? What did I tell you about the Revival? I told you they are great athletes. They are great wrestlers. Their personalities are in question. They are not going to be the type of guys who draw huge. I don't care who they fight. They're not going to draw a huge crowd to see them. They're just not. So I know what they thought. Oh, we're going to be the biggest thing since, main events of New Japan. No, you're not going to be. Because the truth of the matter is, there's a ton of people said, I remember them as the Revival. They're okay. They're not bad. And Young Bucks, I've seen them on the Indies. They're okay. And it's not the Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan match you thought you were going to get out of it. Oh, of course it's going to be a better match. But this is my point when it comes to popularity versus just skill. And I think the Revival know this, but the Revival's a little bit sour grapes too, though, Todd, because everywhere they go, their claim is, we're not being handled properly. Well, apparently the only way to handle the Revival, where they're going to be satisfied, is to hand them the belts, make them the main event every week, and everyone else is beneath them. I don't understand what they want exactly.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the, now they're not the Revival anymore, they're FTR.
Right.
Like you said, this skin handed them the belt every week, and just main eventing, technically.
They're never happy. I mean, I don't know what you want. What do you want? You're not popular enough to be the top dogs. I'm sorry. I know you guys feel you're the best tag team in the world. That's great. You're great athletes. But your charisma and your drawing power is not close. It's just not close. I told you when they were in NXT, it's not close. And it didn't improve. So how in the world do you want AEW, Mike, to all of a sudden dedicate their entire show to a build-up between them and the Young Bucks because they think it's going to be a great match?
Right. And I think of it like this. There are better, more charismatic teams, than both of these two teams. I mean, I like the Young Bucks, but they have weaknesses. In my mind, including the whole super kick party thing. But that's neither here nor there. You look, you look at some of these other tag teams, you look at the best friends, and you look at the two guys blanking on their names now. The very young tag team, the Private Party.
Private Party, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
LAX,
mm-hmm.
You know. So
even Butcher and the Blade have more. I mean, look, the problem is this: they got a great tag team division. So when the Revival come over there and say, "Oh, well, we want to be the top dogs," well, prove it. And you can't prove it. See, these are guys who think, well, we can prove it because we back it up in the ring. Yeah, but prove it as far as draw power. Prove it as far as, man, when FTR's on, our ratings go up. No, I'm sorry. There's a thin line. Vince McMahon wants you to be a clown. I get it. Vince McMahon wants you to juggle, you know, lawn darts and come out on a unicycle. That's going too far. You want to act like all of this is real and we're just mat wrestlers, and that's going too far the other way. There's got to be some middle ground where you have a personality. Anyway, Cody Rhodes, when asked about, and I warned people about this too. I said, you know, Cody Rhodes is a diplomatic guy and a nice guy. Met him several times, always been a complete gentleman. Articulate, well-spoken, seems very fan-friendly. But I warned people, it's very easy to be fan-friendly when the whole wrestling universe is saying, oh, man, you're going to save wrestling. Oh, I can't wait for AEW. Oh, man, we're AEW. We're buying the merchandise. We haven't even seen one match. We're into it. Now when the criticism comes, this is where we find out the measure of how non-hypocritical you are. When fans jumped Cody about how come the women's division never has a really good storyline or a really good build-up, he says, well, this is the fans' fault. Fans have been preconditioned to think somebody has to steal the last piece of cake or attack somebody in a parking lot for a match to matter. It shouldn't, and it doesn't. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. If it doesn't, how come all your matches have build-ups? See, that's what no one asked him. There should be like a wrestling press, you know, where like you can have a press conference. Wouldn't that be great? And you could just ask people questions. So I could raise my hand and say, Cody, if you really believe that, how come all your matches have buildups? Please name me a match of yours that didn't have a buildup or a storyline behind it. But anyway, once again, let's have the old fallback of blame the fans. Well, that's the fans' fault if they think that way. In other words, well, this is a nice way of saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You're thinking wrong. No, they're not thinking wrong. See, irregardless to what the fans think, even if they are wrong, it's your responsibility to deal with that. Simple as that. Nobody cares about Nyla Rose challenging for the women's championship match. No one does. I repeat, no one does. There's no storyline. There's no nothing. It's just a match. I don't know if it'll be a good match. I don't care if it's going to be a good match. I don't care who wins. And if I don't care who wins, why in the world am I watching the match? So I think they've got a little bit of a problem here. And see, when they start getting the criticism, and I knew they would, the honeymoon is over now, and wrestling fans are holding their feet to the fire saying, wait a minute, you said wins and losses matter. I don't see wins and losses mattering. If wins and losses matter, how come this team is going for a tag team title match when this team has more wins? How come this guy's getting a title shot when this guy has more wins? They dropped that already. Told you they would, and they did. Oh, the women's division is going to be equal in all ways to the men's division. Told you that wasn't going to happen. And now we see it's not happening. And when they're jumped about that, it's our fault for thinking it was going to happen. No, you told us it was going to happen. That's almost like politicians when they say, well, I'm going to do this if I'm elected, and then you're elected. You say, I ain't doing that. Well, you told us you would. Well, it's your fault for believing me. Okay. Well, this is rough. And I'm going to tell you something else, and no one wants to admit it, but if there's one thing I want to do on this show is I want to keep it real. So I'm going to say the things other people are thinking and they won't say. I truly believe that John Moxley's popularity is waning fast. I don't think he's the champion AEW needs. And I think when he loses the belt, it's going to get even worse. And I think we have realized now that without the WWE machine behind him, John Moxley is a really strong indie wrestler with some personality. That's going to be a problem. He's not Chris Jericho. And his title reign has not drawn huge like people thought it was going to. And the shine is off the rose, so to speak. And they say, former Dean Ambrose, and he's over here now, and he's the champion. Now all of a sudden they say, yeah, we forgot all about the Dean Ambrose. It's just John Moxley now, and it's okay. He's all right. Because without that machine behind him to constantly reinvent him every 4 months, you're left to your own devices. And not everybody can reinvent themselves. Now, as much as I think she's a moron, I'll tell you who's a genius at keep reinventing herself was Madonna. Madonna understood it's not all about the music. It's about reinventing myself every third album or second album, and she did it. Reinvent her sound, reinvent her look, reinvent her image, everything. Keep herself fresh. Fresh, fresh, fresh. John Moxley's not changed anything. And it's getting old. So, Mike, I think they may have a problem there when it comes to, the champion. I think it's about time to probably change champions. I think you're going to see it. I would imagine that Kenny Omega is going to win his match with Hangman Page. He's going to be the number one contender. I would think you're going to see Kenny Omega the champion.
I would think so, too. And, frankly, I mean, there are very few, guys that are that guy that don't need a company to reinvent themselves. I mean, I can only name probably one, and that's Bray Wyatt.
Maybe Jericho.
And look, possibly you could have a couple of them in MJF and Sammy Guevara. But they're so young right now, and that's definitely those two guys are the AEW's future. And look, on the women's side, Britt Baker.
Right. Now that's AEW's strong point. If you want AEW's strong point, it's that they have carefully developed a couple of guys who you legitimately say these guys are going to be big. They're probably going to be really big names in 2, 3, 4 years. That I'll give them. And they did it in a really good way by mixing them in with top talent and making them look like they're already top talent when in fact they're not. So AEW was smart that way, Todd. But I think when it came to buying up all of these guys, with the exception of maybe Jericho, I think they thought, well, they're going to stay fresh and cool and appealing for years, and they're just not.
You're absolutely right, though, like you said about Moxley and Jericho, and like Moxley, he's not getting pushed like he's supposed to get pushed, but not that he didn't have that kind of popularity like Jericho has.
It's not even the push. I mean, he stayed the champion. It's just that I think at some point, you got to reinvent them a little bit. At some point, you got to say, okay, well, you've done this for 6, 8 months. Now we're going to change things around a little bit, and you'll do this. The WWE's masters at that are used to be. Baron Corbin came in. He's the lone wolf. He's like a biker. Then he's the king. When things go badly, change it. They're good at that. AEW seems to just think, no, hang in there. Just be you. Well, there's only so much of you before you get boring. You have to constantly reinvent yourself. If you're a professional wrestler, yearly you should reinvent yourself to some degree, whether it's costume changes, attitude changes, heel or face turn, whatever it happens to be, you got to try to stay fresh. And I'm seeing a lot of these guys who I don't know. I don't know if they're going to stay fresh. Remember when Matt Hardy came over there and it was going to be the biggest thing? It's not the biggest thing. We got Jack Swagger, and that was going to be, oh, they're going to push him to the top. No, they didn't. Brody Lee's, oh, no, they didn't. See, this is the problem. They're starting to realize these guys are names, but they're only names because they were WWE guys. And once the thrill of, oh, a WWE guy's in AEW wears off, then it just becomes, oh, that guy. And that's a problem if that guy doesn't have the ability to reinvent himself. Now, you're looking at Miro. Can he do it? Can he pull off that same charismatic Rusev-type thing without the machine behind him? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Seems like it might not be that likely. I don't know. But anyway, AEW does win the ratings war. And I think what we're seeing here, despite the fact that there are peaks and valleys where NXT won a week ago and, you know, different things happen, I think you're just going to have to accept the fact that AEW is going to draw more on Wednesday night. It's the norm, and it doesn't seem to be going away, and it doesn't matter. See, here's the deal. It doesn't matter even when they drop. You say, oh, AEW had 900,000. Now they only have 700,000. Yeah. But then NXT goes down by equal amounts. So it's not like NXT is gaining off their loss. When they lose, NXT loses. When they go up in ratings, NXT goes up in ratings. It just seems like it's up to the wrestling fan whether they tune in on Wednesdays. One's not benefiting off the other as far as when one loses fans, the other gains it, except for that one week where they had Halloween Havoc, and that gained about 100,000 fans from AEW. But aside from that, one goes down, the other one goes down. One goes up, the other one goes up, Mike. So it's not like any one of them is really gaining anything. They're just on a treadmill.
Right. And we saw what happened when NXT moved to Tuesdays, right?
Yep.
I mean, their ratings skyrocketed. And, of course, you know, so did AEW's. Their ratings went up. Now, here's the deal, though. The reason why they moved back, and we've said this before, is they just cannot. It's an ego deal. They cannot stand that they're being beaten. They want to do everything they can to beat. It's ego. It's all ego. They need to learn to put their ego aside and make the decision. Yeah, it's going to look bad. It's going to look like we're admitting we're losing on a consistent basis, but the right move is to move them off of Wednesday night and put them on, you know, and put them on Tuesday or Thursday or whatever other night you want to put them on. Just put them on some other night.
You know why WWE has a problem with that, though, Mike? And it's really something that we need to talk about. I think the WWE feels if we put NXT on Tuesday, it's right after Raw. People are going to be wrestled out after 3 hours of Raw, and I'm not tuning in tomorrow night. A day passes, and you're like, okay, I didn't see wrestling on Tuesday. I'll tune in Wednesday. Same thing might happen, reverse, if it's Thursday, because you say, okay, I watched NXT for 2 hours on Thursday. Oh, SmackDown's on Friday. I'm not watching every night. They think that's a problem. That's why they said Monday is good and then take Tuesday off. Wednesday's good. Take Thursday off. Friday's good. Take Saturday off. And we got a pay-per-view on Sunday. That's in the WWE's minds. That's perfect. AEW upset that apple cart because they picked Wednesday night. And I think that the WWE thought we can drive them into Tuesday or Thursday where it doesn't matter to them because they don't have anything going on like that. They could easily go Tuesday or Thursday. We will lose ratings on Raw or NXT, one or the other, if we move to Tuesday, and we'll lose ratings on NXT or SmackDown if we move to Thursday. I think that's why they're trying to hold out for Wednesday, but you're absolutely right. It doesn't appear that they're going to win that war.
It doesn't appear that they're going to win that war. And furthermore, I mean, you know, we've said already that the people that watch NXT are not exactly the people that would watch Raw or that would watch SmackDown, right? Two totally different brands of wrestling. So that argument about it would take away from the ratings of Raw, which are in the toilet anyway, or it would take away from the ratings of SmackDown, which are pretty good. It's the best show in the company right now. Doesn't hold water because, again, it might be a little bit closer to SmackDown. NXT would be a little bit closer to the brand and SmackDown, but not very much. You know. So,
well, here's why I think it actually does hold water. Because you're not going to convince me that 700,000 people, there's no crossover. You're not going to convince me that out of 700,000 people, not one of those people also watch Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, because I do, you do, and Todd does, so there you go. So let's say out of the 700,000 people, 350,000, half of them, also watch Raw and SmackDown. They can't afford to lose that 350,000. If Raw dips 350,000, they're looking at the 1,000,001 mark or 1,000,002 mark, and that would be disaster. And they're afraid of that. Or the opposite, where they say those 350,000 people are not tuning into NXT on Tuesday because they're Rawed out, and then NXT comes in 350,000, 400,000, and that's a disaster. So while you're right, I think that NXT has a separate group of fans in some respects. It's not every fan. And they're worried about the 100 or 200,000 that are crossover fans because they can't afford to lose that 100 or 200,000 on the ratings of Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. They can't afford to lose in any one of those shows. So that's the problem. If they truly felt there's 10 people, you know, 100 people or 1,000 people who watch all three, then they do it, I think. But they think they've probably done their demographics and they probably figure, you know, about 40 to 60% watch Raw and SmackDown who watch NXT. And we can't afford to lose that 40 or 60% if they get wrestled out. And plus, wrestling fans, to some extent, here's what you'd have to do, Mike. You'd have to make me believe that wrestling fans are going to say, Monday night I'm watching Raw, Tuesday night I'm watching NXT, Wednesday night I'm watching AEW, Friday night I'm watching SmackDown, Saturday night I'm watching an AEW pay-per-view when they have it, and Sunday night I'm watching a WWE pay-per-view if they have it. I don't believe it. That's too much wrestling. So some show is going to lose out. That's the problem. I don't know. It's a very complex thing. Maybe the WWE will just be satisfied saying we're good with our 700,000. We're fine. And we'll just take the 700,000 and maybe over time we can increase it. Maybe that's what they're going to do. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. It's an interesting problem. And I don't know how the WWE is going to fix that. I really don't. I'll tell you another interesting problem is that NXT apparently is immune to the Twitch and Cameo rules. The WWE has said NXT performers can keep their Twitch and their Cameo. Now, if it wasn't bad enough that there's already WWE guys saying I should have stayed in NXT, now you're giving them the perk of if I stayed in NXT and I was successful with my Twitch and Cameo, I could probably make exactly the same amount or damn close to it. I don't understand this. I don't understand. And if you're a WWE wrestler, I mean, if you're Paige, you got to be sitting there going, wait a minute. I don't even wrestle. You don't use me for anything. And I can't have a Twitch. In the meantime, Velveteen Dream can have a Twitch and he can have a Cameo. And he's on TV every week. Or Johnny Gargano can have one, and he's on TV every week. How is that fair in anybody's universe? And if they're saying, well, the pay scale is different, well, yeah, but then they're making up for it. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, that sounds like selective enforcement of the rules, and I can't imagine that the WWE wrestlers are not too happy about that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the WWE main roster guys are not happy about things are going with Twitch and all these cameo apps and everything. Like you said, with the NXT guys, they could get away with it, but the main roster guys, they can't.
How is that fair, Mike? I mean, at some point, you'd think the WWE guys would say, wait. Then what's our incentive? If we're in NXT, what is our incentive to be brought up to the main roster?
That's right. And furthermore, you know, let's just say for the sake of argument, you got to throw Paige out because we know she's not healthy, okay? And she's never, I don't think she's ever going to wrestle again. I don't know, at least for the WWE. So throw her out. But if you got a Mr. X that's on the main roster who had a Twitch but no longer can have it, but was making money off it, and you're seeing Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, any number of guys, Velveteen Dream, who's doing the same thing and still making money, what's to stop him or her, Mr. or Mrs. X, from going to Vince McMahon and say, send me down?
That's the problem. What's the incentive? You'd think people, and they've already said, a lot of the WWE guys already said, I'd rather go to NXT. Now you're making it even sweeter. Yeah, there's a money difference, but I mean, at some point you say, well, it's marginal. By the time I pay my taxes and everything, it'll get marginal. How do you, in any universe, say Adam Cole can have a Twitch, which I don't know if he does, but let's say Adam Cole is perfectly willing and able to have a Twitch, to which he could make any amount of money because he's very, very, very famous and very, very, very popular over in NXT. Bo Dallas can't. And he's not even seen on TV. How in the world can you make that argument? This is going to cause problems. I'm telling you right now. I don't know how they ever allowed this. The rules have got to apply to everyone who is signed with Titan Sports. I don't give a damn. Or it's going to have to apply to none of them. But you can't have this. Because this is going to lead to people really getting hurt feelings and saying, what in the blue hell is going on? How come this guy can have it and I can't? And you're going to get that inequity where you say Adam Cole's more famous than Bo Dallas at this point. He's seen on TV more. He's used more. He's got more television time. And he can have a Twitch and he can have a cameo. But I can't, and all I do is sit in catering. It's not going to work. It's going to cause backstage problems. This is a big deal. The WWE always shoots themselves in the foot. You can count on the WWE to always shoot themselves in the foot. Rather than to just make an edict and say, look, this is the way it is. NXT workers better get used to it. You know, it won't be no big deal if you're called up to the WWE and you lose it. So in other words, if you're in NXT, you're Adam Cole and you're saying, oh man, I got this Twitch channel. I'm doing really good. And I'm making sweet money on Cameo. And then we're going to call you up. You're like, no, I'm going to lose all that. And I might not even be utilized as well. So where's your incentive to come up to the big leagues, supposedly up to the world of the WWE? The answer is, it's not there. It's not there. It's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck. Now, Paige, as we said on last week's show, she's just defying it. She's saying, I'm not taking down my Twitch. Fine me. Suspend me. Fire me. I don't care. What has she got to lose? She's got nothing to lose. So she has openly defied it. We'll see how long that lasts. And we'll see if any other wrestlers openly defy it. So far, to my knowledge, none of the wrestlers have openly defied it. So, look. If you're WWE, you have two jobs, really. One is to please the fans, and the second is to keep your locker room happy. It doesn't appear the WWE is very capable of doing either for any long period of time. And while business is business, and I I 100% understand where the WWE is coming from. You can't have selective enforcement of this, otherwise it looks phony. You have to know that if you say, okay, all the Twitch and Cameo accounts are got to be suspended, the wrestlers are going to be mad. But if you say, hey, that's just business, and they say, okay, well, that's the way the WWE does business, I guess. I mean, what are you going to do? If that's their rules, that's their rules. Oh, except if you're in NXT. Then you say, well, now, wait a minute. It doesn't make sense, folks. You can't do it that way. You just can't. It's going to lead to hurt feelings, hard feelings, a sense of, unrest backstage. You don't want any of those things. Trust me, you don't want any of those things. Now, there was a Brock Lesnar sighting. Apparently, he's grown out his beard and trimmed down a little bit, and people are saying this is for UFC. To be honest with you, I tend to agree. There's no reason in the world for Brock Lesnar to slim down for WWE. It would be maybe the opposite. So I don't know if we're going to see Brock Lesnar around very much. It could be a good thing. That could be a very good thing. Right now, they don't need him. Tonight on SmackDown, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see a furthering of the Roman Reigns story with Jey Uso. We're going to see a little bit more of, probably the tag team division fleshed out a little bit more. Maybe Daniel Bryan and his response to what happened to him. And there's some interesting things going on. Over on Raw, that's the problem, isn't it? Over on Raw, there's not very much interesting going on. And the ratings are starting to show that. So now the WWE is in this mode where we have to get the ratings, but wrestling is being overplayed a little bit. The pandemic has helped the WWE in the sense that their production costs are way down, but it's hurt the WWE in the fact that people are wrestled out to a certain extent. There's only so much wrestling you can watch before you say, Jesus, no more. And it's also hurt because much like pro football, baseball, basketball, all that stuff, the wrestlers and their loudmouth opinions about what president they want and whether the pandemic is as deadly as everyone is saying or not, or whether a mask helps or not, has really made people pick sides and say, well, I don't like this guy anymore. Or I don't want to follow this guy anymore. Well, this guy's an idiot. Well, that guy's an idiot. In the midst of all this, you know who the true professionals are because they ain't said anything. I have no idea who Cesaro sides with. I don't know who AJ Styles sides with because they're not talking. Because they're smart. In the meantime, you got people like Maria Kanellis mouthing off about how she was mistreated in the WWE. I would love for Maria Kanellis to come on the show and explain to me how you were mistreated by the WWE. You signed a contract, and within a month, you got pregnant. You said, I can't wrestle at all. They still paid you every dime of the money that they owed you. And then when your contract came up, you signed another one already pregnant. And, you didn't tell them, though, did you? And then when you signed that contract and the ink was dry, you said, did I forget to mention the fact that I was pregnant and I can't do anything again? This isn't the unemployment office. You don't just get paid to sit home and have Mike Bennett's babies. If that sounds sexist, I'm sorry, but it's the same damn thing as if you signed a contract and you're a wrestler and say, did I forget to mention that I have a torn fibula or a torn muscle or a broken fibula and I'm not going to be able to wrestle for 9 months? Did I happen to mention that? Oh, I didn't? Sorry. Pay me. Did I forget to mention that I have some kind of neurological problem and I'm going to be out for 9 months to a year? I didn't? Those things slip your mind, you know. Pay me. You know what they'd call that person? A gold brick. That's what they'd call him. Oh, you did it on purpose. You're a swindler. Try it sometime in your profession. I don't care what you are. Go into your job and say, yes, I'd like this job. Okay. And the day you get the job, the very next day, you say, did I mention that I'm going in for an operation and I'm going to need about 5 months to recover? I expect all my pay. And see what they tell you. So, cry me a river, Maria Canales. Cry me a river, some of you other guys who are complaining about boo-hoo-hoo. This entitlement generation is very aggravating to me. So here's how it's supposed to work. You sign a contract, you bust your ass for that company who gave you that contract, and you get paid what you're worth. If you feel you're not getting paid what you're worth, you don't sign the contract. Let me explain something to all of you elitist professional wrestlers out there. I've went through barbed wire, ground glass, thumbtacks, and fire. And didn't get enough to order a pizza. Because I love the sport. I love the business. It's not a sport. I love the business. I love entertaining people. And you can make money at it. Yeah, of course you can if you get to a certain level. But the way it works is that you work toward that. You don't sign a contract and say, I can't work. Do you know what would happen if I signed a contract to play a gig somewhere and said, okay, give me $1,500 to play for 30 minutes? Okay, great. Oh, did I mention I got a sore throat and I'm not coming? But I'll take the $1,500. You know what they tell me? Fuck you. That's what they tell me. You're not getting anything, and you're lucky we don't sue you for advertising prices of advertising that you're going to be here and now have to cancel. So cry me a river. I don't know what happened to hard work and you know, I just don't understand. And then you get to badmouth your employers, by the way. That is why I always respected AJ Styles. He badmouthed Paul Heyman because he was really angry. And I think he took it very personally because he felt responsible for his best friends getting fired. But other than that, Dixie Carter and him had a horrible angle. She ruined the Federation. And to this day, AJ Styles is hard-pressed to say anything bad. I mean, he'll smile and say, well, you know, yeah, that probably wasn't the greatest thing. But you know what he really wants to say is that whole thing was bullshit. She had no idea what the fuck she was doing. She was in there to basically bang as many wrestlers as she possibly could. She was a glory hog. She wanted to hog up all the TV time with her dumb angles and her stupidity. And it ruined the whole show. But he's not going to say that. He's not going to say that, and he could. He absolutely could. Nobody would blame him for it. But he's not going to, because why do it at this point? A professional just says, you know, yeah, I guess there were some rough times over there, but, you know, I had some good times too. It was all right. And that's just what you do. That's just what you do. And I'm very disappointed in Miro that he gets over there. He finally gets what he wants. I don't understand. You got what you wanted. The WWE offered you a contract. You said no. You counteroffered. They said no. Finally, they said, okay, we're not coming to terms. You can leave. Okay, you got your freedom. You go over to AEW, and now you're saying, oh, well, you know, that WWE mistreated me. Okay. Well, you did what you had to do. You left. It's water under the bridge. Why do you care? That's like the guy whose girlfriend, you know, dumps him. And he's with his next girlfriend still talking about her. That bitch screwed me over. Well, you got a girl on your arm. What are you worried about? No, I know. She's okay. But that bitch, well, then that makes me think you're not over her. You understand where I'm coming from on that, Mike?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. I mean, and you're right about Maria Canales. You know, if there's any other chick in regular life, you know, there's a term for her, you know, gold bricker or whatever you want to call her, you know, bought girl, whatever it is, there's a term for that type of girl, you know. in South Florida. I mean, the way it started, they're going to try and make him, you know, Miro Day and all that stuff, you know. That's the way it's looked like he said it to me and Little Bird. I'm not sure. And if they try to do that, will the WWE say, well, we did that with him. We're going to sue you because that's our idea. We got to see, you know. Or will they just let it be, you know?
I think they'd pretty much have to let it be, but boy, would it not look a little bit, Mike, like AEW is just trying to buy WWE gimmicks at that point?
Oh yeah. Well, but then again, you got to look at what Cody's been doing for years now about, you know, I want my name back and I want all the stuff that my father created, and then you got to look at what the WWE has done, you know, with War Games, which is a Dusty Rhodes deal, Halloween Havoc is a Dusty Rhodes deal, all these name different things that the WWE is starting to use the trademark on because, well, it looks like they don't want Cody Rhodes to have those things, even though I don't want to say he's entitled to it, but you know, it's one of these things where he wants out everything his father created, and it looks like they're using names for these papers and stuff like that. They're playing kind of dirty, hardball, whatever with him, you know?
What I think about that is this. The WWE bought Lock, Stock, and Barrel all of the rights to all of those names. They own them. Cody's just going to have to live with it. I don't care if his father came up with it. That's like saying, well, I came up with the name The Undertaker, and I left the WWE, so even though I'm not The Undertaker, I'm just some dude who was in creative, I made it up, so therefore it's mine. No, that's not how it works. That's just not how it works. So who thought of the gimmick of, you know, this character? Oh, this guy? Well, then he owns it. No, the Federation owns it. Because you work for the Federation. So Cody's out of gas when it comes to those names just because his father thought of the name. It means nothing. However, the WWE, absolutely no doubt about it, should allow Cody Rhodes to use his last name. Doesn't mean that they can't still use Rhodes if they want to. Doesn't mean they got to pull Dusty Rhodes out of every, you know, one of their videos. You just make a deal by saying the name Cody Rhodes you can have. Not Dusty Rhodes, Cody Rhodes. That's fine. I always thought that was petty of the WWE. Just let him have the name, for God's sake. Everybody knows who he is anyway. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, I'd let him have the name. Unless there's some other reason you're holding on to it, which I can't think of. Let him have the name Cody Rhodes as the name Cody Rhodes, not as every Rhodes. You don't get the right to every Rhodes now. Everything Dusty, you know, any Dusty Rhodes things WWE has isn't yours now. You just get the right to call yourself Cody Rhodes. I don't know, folks. Anyway, SmackDown's on tonight, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I think there's going to be a continuation of some of these angles that are really starting to take off. I don't know where the Rey Mysterio thing is going tonight. I've been told by inside sources tonight it takes a major, major turn. Now, I don't know whether that's a turn in a good direction or a bad direction, but they're saying now, tonight you will see a major chapter in that story. Looking forward to that, as well as looking forward, of course, to what happens with Roman Reigns and the Usos. Should be an interesting time. We'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it, and also, of course, Full Gear, AEW, tomorrow night. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.